This week on The Sonic Truth, Veritonic's VP of Marketing, Kristen Sharon, sits down with Maria Tullin of Horizon Media to discuss the power of audio as a marketing channel, how the popularity of podcasting has impacted the way clients think about leveraging audio, and how the advent of audio research, testing, and performance tech has impacted the capacity at which audio is baked into marketing mixes today. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and welcome again to The Sonic Truth.
Hi, Maria. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Happy to be here.
So for our listeners, today we are joined by Maria Tullin, VP Managing Director, Advanced and Digital Audio at Horizon Media. How long have you been with Horizon?
I have been with Horizon for over 14 years.
Wow.
It's been a long journey. I met my husband at work. So business is pretty personal for me.
That's awesome. I love that. And has your role at Horizon always been audio focused over the 14 years, or has it evolved into audio as audio kind of came up and gained popularity?
Yeah, it's always been audio. I started within the local radio team. We rebranded in 2009 to be audio as we started seeing streaming and everything digital really starting to pop. My role, I think the reason why that I've stayed so long is because I've been able to kind of evolve with the marketplace, starting with local and then moving more towards streaming, podcasting, and just national in general. It's kind of allowed me to grow while staying in the same company. So that's been really why I've stayed.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of evolution and change over that period of time. I feel like even in the last 5 years, so much has changed in audio.
Yeah, I would agree with that, specifically podcasting. I mean, it's been a little more than 5 years, but for sure, the growth in that space has changed things quite a bit.
I feel like Horizon as an agency has been such a huge cheerleader of audio since, you know, audio has become such an effective marketing vehicle. What about streaming audio and podcasting in particular do you feel makes it a great complement to other advertising channels?
So I think audio, like from a broader sense, including broadcast, has always been a reach builder. So for that reason, it's been a great complement to other channels like TV. We always see a lift there, but audio has been really difficult to measure. The fact that we're able to measure streaming and podcasting now has made it easier for some brands to digest it and to really give podcasting and streaming the credit that it's due. That's something that I think had been lacking in the past. And it's been one of those things that anecdotally people have known that the audio kind of builds reach and adds effectiveness when you're looking at it from more of an omnichannel mix, but being able to apply that attribution has really helped us to prove it.
How much of it being a screenless medium with like knowing how mobile audiences are today, you know, they're listening in the car on the way to the gym, while they're walking, while they're cooking with their family. Audio is just everywhere. How much of that do you feel like has impacted its use as a marketing channel?
I think people's daily lives has changed quite a bit over the last 5 years. I mean, specifically the last two or three, really dramatically. But it's really easy to consume audio. So I think what we found is that it's not that people are consuming other mediums less. It's that they're kind of finding those extra hours in the day. Like you said, they're washing their dishes, they're cooking. That's when I listen to podcasts, driving to pick my child up from school, things like that. People are finding those extra moments in their day, and that's when they're interacting with audio. And I think adding in those hours is why marketers are flocking to it. It's kind of allowing people to have more of an intimate experience while they're doing things that are personal to them.
Agreed. That's funny you mentioned that, driving to pick your child up from school. That's when I listen as well. So it can take me like occasionally a full week to get through an episode, because depending on the commute and how much traffic I hit, I'm like, oh, there's traffic. I could do one more episode. But
yeah. I do the same thing.
So in terms of, you know, what you're seeing from an agency perspective and with clients' budgets shifting, not necessarily out of other channels and into audio, but just more towards audio, even including traditional radio. Can you talk a little bit about that shift that you've seen and how it's kind of taken shape over the last couple of years?
So going back even farther than that, we've kind of recommended that brands take an approach where they're putting a certain percentage of dollars toward broadcast and a certain towards streaming. Over time, that mix has evolved. I think there was a headline maybe about a year ago now that people were spending more than 50% of time in digital audio. I think that was a really exciting headline. But when it comes to spending dollars, I think it makes sense to take into consideration overall ad loads and what's addressable. So we don't recommend like shifting all of the dollars over to podcasting, over to streaming, just because you need to take into consideration, you know, what's premium, where are we actually able to serve ads to people. So for that reason, you know, we still don't recommend a full 50% over to streaming and podcasting. But that being said, we're seeing more and more brands getting really excited about podcasting and like kind of dipping their toe in. A lot of those brands have already been active within streaming, and a lot of those brands are really focused on attribution. And the way that attribution has progressed over the last 3 to 5 years has been so dramatic that it's allowed brands to get really comfortable there and to start to, you know, see results and feel like they're getting that like return on investment. I think we're seeing more dollars being spent in streaming and podcasting directly correlating with the rise in suitable attribution partners. So being able to measure has really made more brands comfortable that weren't comfortable before. And seeing the time spent listening overall go up has made brands that are less concerned about like those traditional DTC brands, more brand awareness focused clients, are comfortable being in the space as well because they're watching those hours listening go up as well.
That's actually the perfect segue. There have been a number of tools that have come about in recent years, really around research, testing, and measurement, help brands and marketers understand the efficacy of audio as a channel. And so you mentioned attribution. I feel like that's a really hot topic right now. To your point, everyone's looking for an attribution partner. They're all looking for, you know, data to understand how their investment in audio is performing and ultimately contributing to their goals. Are you finding that the information that's available currently from an attribution perspective is accepted? Are they looking for anything additional? Like, are there anything that attribution providers can be working on to enhance the data that's provided and to even increase the confidence in the channel even more?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think what's been frustrating is that for a very long time, we've been asking for attribution solutions. And now that we have them, in some ways, it feels like it's still not good enough. And when I say that, you know, we talked earlier about how audio is a great complement to other channels. By having attribution that's focused in one channel, we're kind of giving 100% credit to anybody who's heard an audio ad, to any sort of purchase event or whatever other event that we're tracking. So while that's giving audio the credit that it is due, it doesn't take into account what's happening among other channels.
That makes sense. And let's talk about testing for a second. How many of, or I guess to back up, so brands you say that are like investing already in podcasting as an advertising medium, either they're testing the waters or they're all in that they know it's an effective vehicle to include in their omnichannel buys, they're in. Do you find, or are you seeing any kind of increase in the desire to test creative before it goes to market, just to really know that what they're investing in is guaranteed to resonate with their target audiences? Is that even a thought today in the majority of the brands that are experimenting with audio?
Yes, I would say that's happening more within streaming than it is within podcasting, just because a lot of what we're doing with podcasting is more based on, you know, putting together copy points and really leaning into that host experience. You know, that could change as well. There's so much going on within the space, different things available with programmatic and DAI in general. But I would say that the majority of the testing that's taking place for us is happening within streaming, just because it's a little more cut and dry and easier to use the brand creative and have it be very measurable and have us understand which creative is performing better than another.
And in the case of host red ads, what's the most important thing that they're looking at there to determine if it will be effective? Are they really just taking into account the relationship and the weight that the host has with the audience and that intimate connection there to decide if that's best? Or is it like, are they actually thinking about, you know, this host might be beloved, but is their voice right for, you know, exactly what I'd like to promote, or does it align with my brand? Like, are they thinking about the even, you know, script points and everything else in terms of the actual host that they're working with?
When it comes to host reads, I think the number one thing is making sure that the podcast itself aligns with the audience. It doesn't necessarily need to be super on the nose in terms of the content being exactly lined up with the brand, but we want the host to be aligned with the brand. We want the host to be somebody who, you know, has a good following of people that fall into our audience, and also just be an influential person. I think people have that really solid connection with their podcast hosts. They do feel like they're friends to an extent. It feels like someone who you know is sort of chatting with you in your car. I think that taking advantage of that is really important. So making sure that the host, A, can truly endorse the product is really important, and B, can really, you know, use that weight to push their listeners to be interested, or at least, you know, become aware of the product, is more important than necessarily the voice. The people listening already care about that host. So I would kind of rate that of a lower importance and more focusing on, can this host truly endorse this brand, and do they like the brand? Are they getting that point across with their audience?
Mm-hmm. I wonder about that too. Like, even in my own personal podcast listening experience, occasionally you hear a host that's, you know, really high profile, very influential, promoting something that you wouldn't expect, or, you know, whether it's a car brand that you're like, they definitely don't drive that car.
Yep.
Or, you know, and it, to me, it's kind of funny because as much, you know, as much weight as that holds, even with me, because I really like that host and I, you know, I want to align, like, I believe that they're aligned with the things that I like and my hobbies and interests and topics that are important to me. It does occasionally call into question, like, what are they really getting out of this by promoting this? So it's interesting that, you know, that is something that is always reinforced and that it has to be a good match between the brand and the host.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think it's nice sometimes to take advantage of really popular hosts, people who are big names, but when I say that, it's with a grain of salt, because every brand has different priorities and different objectives and audiences. But sometimes the smaller shows perform amazing because those people truly feel like this host is their friend, is someone that they identify with, is someone who has the same likes and dislikes, maybe the same financial bracket, maybe the same location, things like that. So the endorsement from someone like that, who you feel is like you, I think carries a lot of weight depending on what brand we're talking about. To your point, like, an A-list celebrity is not necessarily shopping at certain stores or, you know, buying specific products. It calls the authenticity into question. And what I think is so great about the space is that there's 2 million podcasts. There's something for everybody. You can really find somebody who you identify with, and that person's recommendation is really valuable.
Yeah, agreed. Before we move into our rapid fire portion of the podcast, which is a favorite, is there anything else that you'd like to promote, or anything that you'd recommend, you know, yourself or on behalf of Horizon, in terms of, you know, things that brands and marketers should really be thinking about when it comes to investing in audio?
I think the biggest thing is taking advantage of the medium, making sure that, you know, you're tailoring the creative to the medium. You don't want a radio ad to be on a podcast. want to make sure that you, the creative that's being presented fits with not only the specific podcast, but the channel in general. Making sure that you're taking advantage of the authenticity of the platform. You know, what I just said about like A-list celebrities versus like your neighborhood friend. It's really important to lean into whichever direction you're going with, and not just like repurpose spots.
That's really, really good advice, especially the repurposing. I feel like there's every week we see a new article or thought leadership piece on why it's so important to create content for the medium.
Yeah, I think one of the things I worry about with programmatic, outside of extreme brand safety concerns, that, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that are trying to solve for that as well, which is great. But besides the brand safety issue of it all, what I worry about with programmatic is it eliminates the publisher's ability to determine what creative is being pushed into all these shows. So in some cases, you know, people have complete control over their own inventory, but in others, you're kind of letting whatever ad sneaks in into the listener's experience. And I think that kind of degrades it a little bit. So again, completely depends on who's selling what, but just something to be careful about. And when I say careful, I mean that from both a brand perspective and also like publishers to be aware of what's actually running in your shows and is that resonating with your audience or like turning them off.
Absolutely. Okay. Rapid fire. Are you ready for the first question?
Sure.
What was the last thing you purchased from a podcast ad?
A Simply Safe home security system.
Oh, and was it everything you hoped it would be?
It is. It's great. I love it.
That's awesome. Okay. In your opinion, and based on your personal listening experiences, what do you feel as a consumer is the most effective call to action in a podcast ad?
I like custom coupon codes. And I say this because when I buy things with custom coupon codes, I feel like the person who told me to buy it is getting the credit. So, you know, it's better. Custom vanity URLs I don't love because people don't remember those. Mm-hmm. Just in my experience, but coupon codes people do because they want to support whatever it is that their favorite host, their favorite Instagram celebrity, whoever it is, you know, recommending. So people like that little connection. So I like coupon codes for that reason.
Agreed. It's a little bit of a give back.
Yes. Yes. Especially when you're getting free content.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Last question. If you could be next door neighbors with any one podcast host, who would it be and why?
I would like to live next door to Ashley Flowers because if I was murdered, she would definitely find my murderer. And also I think she would be really fun to like do a book club with or something like that.
That's awesome. I love it. That's a great answer. I didn't think of her. I really like that answer. That's a good one.
Thank you so much to Maria Tolan for joining this week's episode, and thank you for tuning in. At Veritonic, we remain committed to helping you get the most out of your audio strategy. If you're interested in learning more about audio research, testing, and measurement, visit veritonic.com or contact marketing@veritonic.com.